The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his pathways." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, as they acknowledged their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these very stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. The theme of these readings which we have today is reconciliation. The gospel reading has John the Baptist in the Judean desert and people coming out to him to be baptized in an act of repentance and change of life. Metanoia is the word that's used. The Greek nous means mind. Meta literally is behind, but it means to change your mind. There was something happening in the lives of these people that caused them to be disturbed, some conflict, some emptiness, some heavy burden, some unsolved questions. And they come out into the desert, into a new place, to go through some renewal, some change that might give them inner peace and reconciliation. The first reading comes from Isaiah the prophet, and he speaks about the day of the Lord. When the Messiah comes, there will be harmony. The lion and the lamb will lay down together. But somebody said the lamb won't get much sleep. But the lamb will get sleep, because the lamb trusts the lion. And the lion will learn from the weakness of the lamb. The master will listen to the student. The power will be enlightened by the weakness. Inside of me there's a strong man, a lion. And inside of me, there is a broken, weak, sinful person. And somehow it's only when these two come together in harmony to be reconciled that somehow the person has inner peace. The broken person is healed. The conflict is resolved. Only then can the person walk in peace. When the lion inside of me and the Lamb inside of me can lay down in reverence and respect when the lion will learn from the weakness of the Lamb. When grace will be enlightened by sin. When somehow the recognition of grace and the recognition of sin will be equal. Only then do we begin a journey of reconciliation. We live in an age of distractions. The conflicts which we have are diversions somehow. The things that disturb us. There is a subtle difference between a settled spirit. It's a settled spirit. Difficult to define, but easy to experience. I have a settled spirit. Or my spirit is disturbed. I am unsettled inside of me. And I need to be reconciled. But distractions somehow disguise this. We shop more. We drink more. We celebrate more. We go on. And somehow we cover over the inner conflict until we get to a point where we think we need to be reconciled. We need to change. We need to rediscover metanoia. Some change, some renewal, some difference. And it is especially true in this season. As we prepare for Christmas, for the coming of the Lord. It's especially true that we notice who's missing from our table. We are more conscious of the persons who are divided from us. That's part of the grace of this season. When we pause, we become more conscious of the hurts and the wounds that we carry inside of us. We are more desirous to go out into the desert and somehow go through a change, something in my life which I need to change. A conflict, whatever. But I need to change something in my life. And instead of busy, busy, busy life where I disguise it, deny it, bury it, this is the time when we bring it up to the surface and look at it and say, this is a real part of who I am. I must embrace this and find a way to reconcile my humanity and find holiness in my weakness. So I'd like to speak about that for a few moments. Since on the 17th of a couple of weeks hence, we have a reconciliation service here at Holy Family, and I would like to encourage you to come. And the manner in which I would like to encourage you is a renewed understanding of the sacrament of penance. We all have horror stories about confessions. I probably have more stories about crazy confessions than you do. I have plenty of them. When I did the theology of penance years and years ago, we did it in Latin. And we were told, you confess your sins secundum specium et numerum, according to species and number. Remember that. So, whenever it was four, I always said five, just to make sure I got it right, because I was told that if you didn't confess everything, if you didn't hemorrhage the worst part of it, then the confession, you were worse off afterwards. Forgiveness didn't happen at all. My God, I'm in worse sin now. So I always threw in a few extra things. And it was embarrassing because you had to go through all this. Oh, my goodness. As a teenager, I went to confession every Saturday. And I went to communion on Sunday. And I was back in Saturday with the same things. I was putting the last thing first thing last, hoping you wouldn't know me. And invariably the priest said, did you confess this last week? And I said, I did, Father. And he said, you're not trying hard enough. And I said, okay, I'll try harder. Okay, I tried harder. It didn't work. I was still back next Saturday with the same things. That was yesterday. Let me tell you about today. The name was changed to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. That was not just a change of name. It was a change of theological preference and emphasis. Whereas when we confess, secundum specium et numerum, the emphasis was on confessing. When we call it reconciliation, the emphasis is on God's reconciling love, the affirming love of God, the encouraging love of God, the acceptance I feel from a God of love, even in my worst condition of humanity, the blessing I receive when I am in sin, the embrace of God's love to not just forgive me, but to heal me, to make me whole, to empower me to forgive others, to bless me so that I will affirm others. That's reconciliation. That's the power of Jesus Christ. The infinite love of God touching my life, restoring my wholeness. That's the sacrament. And the greatest reconciliation we have to seek is reconciliation with our goodness. We already know our sins. Our sins burden us. They call us into darkness. But somehow we overlook our goodness. Let me give you an example of what I mean. I've been here for 29 years, 30 years this coming. And in all my years here, our children have never been inside a confessional. I wouldn't do that to them. I mean, it scares the hell out of them. You don't want to do that. Children sit here and say, like, typical little child comes now and says, okay, we're going to this sacrament before Christmas. And I say, well, now, what would you like to ask Jesus to forgive you? Typically say, well, I was fighting with my brother. Hold of your brother. 12. Oh, no, you got a big brother. I do. It's not easy having a big brother. No, it's not easy. Now, what does he do that gets you upset? Well, he messes up my room, and then I get blamed. And then what do? I shout. I bang that. Oh, it's not good. Now you're in trouble. Yes, I'm in trouble. Okay, now, you're going to be nice to your mom, nice to your dad for Christmas, and got to help out and do your best. And, you know, can you do that? Yes. Then comes the single most important part of the sacrament. I say to the child, I bet you've got a lot of friends. Invariably, the child said, I do. I could tell. There's something really special about you. I can tell. You are a very special person. I want that child to go away saying, I'm good. Because for years, I went away saying, I'm not good enough. The action of God reconciles us in our humanity and affirms us in our weakness and accepts us in our sin. That's the whole meaning of the sacrament. If you take that away, you have a tribunal, you have a judgment, you have a place of, well, we lost the deep meaning of being reconciled. So why should I go to a priest to be reconciled? When you cheat, or when you lie, when you sin, there are three levels of offense. You separate yourself from God. Secondly, you wound the community. A man commits adultery. It doesn't matter if nobody finds out. He has wounded the community. He has wounded his vows. He has broken trust. And the third level, I offend myself, the dignity of who I am. I know it. I can feel it. I can feel I'm diminished.
in sin. I am less when I sin. The beauty, the goodness, the nobility in me is somehow diminished. And therefore, when I come to reconciliation, I need to be reconciled at three levels. And I need a ritual. Now, ritual is very important. We have a lot of ritual. We have, this is a ritual. We have incense. We have singing. We have rituals. Rituals are very important. You know, when you have a big fight, husband and wife have a big fight, and they say, well, I forgive you. Is that enough? Oh, no. I need a diamond. I need a romantic dinner. I need candles. I need a hug. I just something. You need ritual, because ritual carries experience. Without the ritual, you don't have experience. The man needs to be, you're a God. Jesus, you're a all-American, fabulous man. Oh, thank you very much. Buy me a new tie. I don't know what, something. When the child is troublesome, and you say, you have to go to bed. Go to bed. Give me trouble. That's okay, I forgive you. Is that enough? No, no, no. You have to read a story. You have to give a hug. You have to say something that is really deeply meaningful now. Not just words, but something from the heart. So, when last did you hear the voice of God saying, you are special. You are beloved. I bless you in your humanity. I bless you. In your humanity, I heal you. In your humanity, you belong to me. In your humanity, you reflect the presence of God. That's the sacrament. So when you come to celebrate the ritual of this sacrament, you are rediscovering your own goodness. And you know, when I say in the sacrament to adults, no, I think you're a very good, oh my God, don't tell me I'm good. I am not good. I am a sinner. And I say, well, but you're good. Well, that's because you don't know me. Let me tell you what I know about you. I know you're sincere. You're humble, making a confession. You would like to be better. I know that when you hurt somebody, you noticed. You're sensitive. You're a caring person. I know that. That's a beautiful person that I know. See your goodness. See what I see. See what God sees. In the sacrament, hear the voice of the true God telling you, you are beautiful, you are good, and you are a reflection of the wonder of God in humanity. I'll see you on December 17th. Amen.